I'll bring you greetings in the name of Jesus, the one who said, do in remembrance of me. And that's a special ring that we should have in our hearts and minds and ears today. This do in remembrance of me. I just want to wish you the Lord's blessing and the service yesterday and as we go from here. Again, a special reminder that God will show us the way. And that was very real yesterday. And I want to commend you for the light that Bradford has because of this congregation here. And it's a real blessing. I was over across the way here, and Jason Guy said, well, are you over at the church? And he had to talk about a little bit about his boyhood days over here. The guy that checked us in. And so it's got a tremendous impact. You'll never know your influence. I'd like to just remind the two brothers, Mel and Zeke, God has a special calling in your life. And I believe that one of the most powerful, that's not the right word, one of the most influential people in the life of the congregation is a lay person that puts his shoulder to the wheel and takes the work of the church seriously and takes that as what's called for you to do and beyond your normal call of duty and support the ministry is one of the most influential people in the life of the congregation. Remember that, Mel and Zeke. That's your call right now. Aaron, a guide for you, is one that's for all dads to their family, but it's also for, as a pastor, to his people, is love your people. Listen to your people. And then you can lead your people. God, all through the scripture, is woven in of love. He calls for us to pray. He wants to listen to what we have to say. But he leads us with the sure word of God. And we don't have to wonder what he really means. And so, I want to commit that to you, Aaron. You've been a real blessing to my life as a congregation here. I'm going to be looking at the phrase of seven sayings on the cross. And we want to do this, look at these sayings, and then remember. We'll turn to Luke 23, first of all. And I'm going to be paging around a bit, and it's up to you whether you want to follow through there. Luke 23:34. And these may not quite the exact sequence, but it's pretty much procedure. But this is Jesus' comment there on the cross. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Now that's a fact and statement. Look just a little further. And this was the setting it was in. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derived him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself. If he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldier also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. In that setting is when he said, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. It wasn't that things were going pretty well. He says, you know, just forgive them. In that agony and time in his life on the cross, he said, forgive them. Forgiveness is probably the sweetest word of the English language. You reflect on that. We all need it. We appreciate it. We plead for it. But for many times, we are slow to extend it. My people, let's remember that Christ showed us a tremendous example of forgiveness in this setting. And that's our call as Christians. Remember, Jesus extended this forgiveness, and he was receiving the most gruesome treatment that man can experience. Matthew 6 has a little something to say about forgiveness. Matthew 6 reminds us that if we don't forgive my brother, my sister, he will not be forgiving you. That's a chilling, chilling statement, but it's a pleasing statement because I am willing, and therefore my shoulders are free. It's roll off. Remember this of Jesus. The second setting is that of Luke 23 again. The words of salvation, Luke 23, 42 and 43. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest unto thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. One to remember is the cross. The work of the cross was that of salvation. A tremendous input that he gave there. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Remember that. He has that all men should be saved. The way of the cross leads home. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. Remember the setting here on the cross. He gave himself. That he loved so that all man could be saved. It was an act of love. When we think about as we experience God's love, then that same love radiates from us to brother and sister, to the unkind neighbor, to whoever it is. That's a privilege. Remember that of the salvation and the plan of salvation is there. So we want to remember that forgiveness multiplies into salvation. And he gave us for that the knowledge of that salvation moves us on to freedom. The third saying is in John 19:25-26. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, and the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he said unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then said he to his disciples, behold thy mother. And from that hour, the disciples took her into their own home. The third saying is that of words of affection. There in the middle of that agony and all that was going on, he had a heart of affection. That's a call to us to remember today, that God's people will have a heart of affection. Heart of love. We're all normal beings. And we know how real it is for us to be the recipient of a person of affection and care. Ephesians 4 and 5 speak a lot about the use of the word there, edify, encourage, and build up. And my call to you this morning, and I have committed to my life, is that I want to be a person that edifies and builds up, one that has words of affection, one that has words of care and love. Speaking of edifying, is that of that it may minister grace to the hearer. Are we slow at that? And why are we slow at that? We can't be slow at that because we love them. We love our sisters. We love our brothers. We can't be slow at that. And the example that Jesus gave is remember. Jesus in agony speaks words of affection. When things are going well, I can. But what about when things aren't going well? We all know of those trials in our life. When the storm clouds gather and the thunder crashes and the lightning strikes in our life, and at that time, we need to give that of affection. There's nothing more beautiful than that. It's called love. The Christian will speak and act in love and affection because he has experienced it from God. It's not because I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna have to be a more loving person. That's true, however, because of the Holy Spirit living within us and having experienced that, is we're going to be a people of love and affection. Speaking of being normal, do we appreciate when somebody is affectionate and caring? How is it that so easy we can forget and have sharp words and darts that strike and are ineffective? There's nothing more effective than words of affection. And Jesus there in the agony of the cross showed us that. The joy and the beauty of affection. Matthew 27, and again I'm moving around here. Matthew 27, 46, are words of anguish there in the cross. Matthew 27, 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God knew that anguish and agony. And it was in the middle of that anguish and agony is what he was doing with the practices we just talked about a moment ago. Jesus fully felt the alone and the anguish of the cross. We all know the feeling of alone. There's times when we feel alone. But we also sing the song, Alone with God. We have that privilege and that opportunity to go to Him. Never alone, no, never alone. I don't know if my song is good enough, but it's sort of ringing in my mind. But Jesus here was alone. And He felt the anguish. Remember that there on the cross was Jesus being alone. And in those settings of being alone, He offered the words of forgiveness. He offered the words of salvation. He offered the words of affection and love to those around Him. Supernatural. Supernatural. And so, while we have times of anguish and heaviness, we still move on. John 19, for our fifth, words of suffering and pain. He said, I thirst. John 19, 28. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, and that the Scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. He acknowledged His suffering. He was real. He was man as man could be. And He suffered that of thirst. Jesus there in the garden asked, He knew what was coming, and He asked, is it possible for this to be moved and removed from, that I don't have to go through this? And yet because of His love, He went ahead. It's because of love we suffer for others. We suffer for the sake of the well-being of others. He asked, could it be forfeited? But not my will. God, it's yours. Brothers and sisters, we stand at that place. Times of suffering in our life. Come when we think this is at the end of things. But not my will, but thine be done. A level of pain and suffering that you and I will never know was going on here. The crown of thorns. The back that was beaten. The nails that were pierced through hand and feet. and his side pierced. The suffering that was for you and I. Remember this. This do in remembrance. John 19:30. It is finished. It was words of victory. 19:30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The finished is a victory call that he's, all that would need to be done was done. It is finished. It is complete. The victory's won. In the middle of the storm, the victory's won. He acknowledged that it was complete. Nothing more needed. And this morning we want to remember that the victory was won. The work of the cross was won. It is one that we have to rejoice on and reflect. And thank the Lord that He has given His Son. And yet through that, and that it was finished. The seventh saying is the words of contentment in Luke 23 again. Luke 23:46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. It is complete. There's nothing more needed here. For the work of the cross, we'll step into the next step just in a moment. But for right now, the work of the cross was completed. We remember that. There was a sense of contentment. There was a sense of rest and completeness. And I call for us today to be a people that can rest in the arms of an Almighty God. Because realize that He is all-knowing. The darkness there of all that was done on the cross was complete there. And He says the words of contentment. As our community, our brothers and sisters, my husband, my wife, my older brothers, my little sisters, do I display that sense of contentment as a Christian? Or am I at unrest and uneasy? Haven't I learned? Have we learned from the work on the cross that there's a sense of contentment? It's okay. I sometimes watch some storm clouds even within the congregation. And somebody doesn't get their own way. And it gets to be pretty sore. And my ring is over and over and over. It's okay. It's okay because it's not myself that we're looking at. It's okay. And I believe here in the cross, Christ said, it's okay. It's okay. Luke 24:44 said it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. The setting here was there on the cross in the noonday darkness, the eerie darkness of that noonday, where 33 years earlier was a dazzling light in the middle of the night to announce His coming as a babe in Christ to save mankind. And then at the cross, it was a noonday darkness that took place, marking a sense of judgment on it all. 3 hours of darkness. Can you visualize just for a moment what was going on in the hearts of those people? What is happening? And will this be forever dark? Is this... Those 3 hours must have felt like a sense of eternity. I grew up in a little outside little town of Ephrata. And on Good Friday, we were back in the year when we believed the Bible more, even the community. But I remember so well that on Good Friday, sometimes we do just a little bit of shopping or something. But there were 3 hours the merchants closed their store. From noon till 3, the merchants closed. It makes the chills go back up your back compared to today. They cared. They believed. They were believers. And we so careless toss it to the wind. Let me tell you, the 3 hours were a picture of the agony that took place and the heaviness that was there. I'd like to kind of feel like we kind of were here, even though it's at rest and it's content and it's complete. This is a complete. Luke 24:1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed, thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how that he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of the sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. And returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. Let me tell you, we have a proclamation to make this morning, and our idea here this morning is to remember that when we are out among our people, out among the world around us, that we're going to tell all the rest. Because we have something that is earth-shattering, if you will, like never before. And never will be again. And never ever so important as the steps into eternity of knowing that this resurrection took place. And the offer of salvation is at our hands. Brothers and sisters, that ought to be so real to us. But this morning as we go through the procedure and Glenn gives us guide, we're going to one more time remember. And I call you. Is there any wonder why we sing the song, Hallelujah, what a Savior! What a Savior. What a Savior. There wasn't anything amiss in his life. There wasn't anything amiss that he forgot or that he left out. It wasn't amiss. It was perfect. And we can sing, Hallelujah, what a Savior. This do in remembrance of me. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and humbleness of heart, as we recognize again and walk through the few of the steps of the cross, of all that you've gone through, those 7 points of agony, the crown and the 2 hands and the 2 feet and the tattered back and the pierced side. Those were steps that were taken of making things complete. And Lord, as you being our Savior, we come to you as your children and we need you so. God, show us the way. Help us to be strong and help us to remember these acts that you did for us. To my brother, to my sister, the one that's very close and dear to me, and to my enemy, the one that is not on appreciation for what we do. God, still we know, like never before, they need these steps. So God, we just commend the further service to you to bring honor and glory to your name, because you alone are worthy. We just commend her all to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Earl, for sharing that message. So, reminder for all of us to